Well, with that said, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. Let's all stand together, because I know you guys have been sitting for a little while. Let's all stand together. We have some Bibles. If you didn't bring your Bible, we have some Bibles here. Just raise your hand. Just flip your hand up, and we'll get you a Bible. Matthew chapter 28, if you would. These are the very last words of Jesus to his disciples right before he ascended to heaven. Now, if you were at somebody's deathbed and they had their last words, would you remember those last words? These are Jesus' last words before ascending to heaven. Notice what he says in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. This is after he rose again from the grave, showed himself. Verse 17, and when they saw him, they what? Worshipped him. By the way, who deserves worship? Jesus, God. Jesus is God. The only one who's worth being worshipped is Jesus, is God. But some what? Some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, how many of you guys are thankful Jesus is powerful? Verse 19, he says, because of this power, because of this authority, you go. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, would you use today's message to be an encouragement as we look at engaging the world with the gospel? Lord, thank you for giving us this command, the Great Commission. Lord, help us to be a church that's unified, that's centered around your gospel and sharing that gospel with those who are lost. Even those who think they're saved, I pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of you. Living in a city where Christ is mentioned so much, there's so many people who think they're saved and they're not. And Lord, I pray that they would get saved. I pray they'd have a real relationship with you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Someone once said, a church without the broken are broken churches. This is not a church where we have a holy huddle, where only the saved and only those who look the part are welcome here. How many of you guys are thankful you're part of a church where everybody's welcome at Grand Rapids Baptist Church? See, a church is not a museum for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. It's a place where the broken can come and get mended by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible does not call us to judge someone who sins differently than you do, although many Christians do. They'll judge somebody else because they sin differently than they do. But the fact of the matter is, we all sin. We all have our thing that we do that's different than somebody else, and it's so easy to point our fingers at those who sin differently than us, but at the same time, we're pointing our finger at them. There's always three pointing back at us, isn't there? See, we're called to win people to the Savior. Not to win them to behavior modification, not to win them over to your version of Christianity. We're here to win people to the person of Jesus Christ. By the way, isn't that how somebody is transformed and changed? Is through a relationship with Jesus. This isn't me getting up saying, now this is how you live. Although there are messages designed for that because people just need to hear that. But the only way somebody's going to genuinely transform their lives is through having a personal relationship with Christ, being a genuine follower of him, a disciple of Christ. Now, what is the church's main business? What's our main business? Like, why do we exist? Why are we doing this? Right, get up and open the Bible and you're all sitting here. Like, why do we do this? You know what our main business is? Evangelism. That's our main purpose for being here. Now, are we encouraged along the way? Are we equipped? Do we grow in Christ? Do we get encouragement? Sure, but the reason Jesus established the church just like he did the people of Israel back in the Old Testament was to be a light unto the world, to evangelize the lost. That is our ultimate main purpose. If we have unity, we have love for Christ, we shine as lights, and other people get saved. That's what it's all about, evangelism. Now, it's interesting, the word evangelize, if you look at the verb form of evangelize, it's the word evangelize. Evangelism, the verb form is evangelize, which means to tell a story. The verb form of evangelism is evangelize, which means to tell a story. The noun form of the word evangelism is evangel, and it means good news. The word evangel means good news. So literally, evangelism is telling the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good news that a Savior came to save the hopeless and the lost. That is incredible. In a day and age where there's bad news everywhere you look, there's good news that we can tell and we can share with those who need it. So evangelism is telling the story of the good news of Jesus. And that's why we handed out these bracelets right here. Now, do you guys notice the little symbols right there, right? Okay. Notice the arrow coming down is Jesus came. The cross is Jesus died. And then there's the tomb. He rose again from the grave. Okay. Then he ascended to heaven. And then the last arrow is he's coming back. And now listen, if you forgot what those symbols mean, it's on the inside of the bracelet. You just look on the inside in the black. It's engraved in there so you remember what it's all about. Now, some of you guys are probably wondering why it says be make. Instead of saying being disciples, making disciples, is it be make? If somebody asks you about it, just say it means being disciples, being a follower of Jesus and helping others follow him. It's being disciples, making disciples. Why the bracelet? Because we want to remind you why your main mission, your purpose of being a Christian is. It's to remind people that he came, that he died, that he rose again from the grave, he ascended into heaven, and he's coming back. Those who turn from their sin in repentance and turn their heart to Jesus Christ are saved, they're born again. That's what it's all about. And we want a reminder every single day of what your mission is as a Christian is to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to your coworkers, to your neighbors, to your family. They need to hear the good news, the story of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we live in a culture that's offended by everything. And we're tempted to edit that story, aren't we? We're tempted to edit the gospel. We're tempted to edit God's word. But let me just say, the gospel message, the gospel that promises salvation without repentance is not the gospel. I'm not talking about getting somebody to pray a prayer. I'm not talking about getting somebody to say, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior now. I'm talking about somebody who recognizes that they're a sinner and they're turning from that sin and turning to Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they don't sin anymore. They're just not running to it. They're running from it. My heart is now turned towards Christ. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. I'm following after you now. A salvation message, a gospel message about heaven and salvation without talking about sin, talking about repentance is not the gospel message. A gospel that promises heaven without the reality of hell is not the gospel. Every one time Jesus spoke on heaven, 40 times he spoke on hell. The purpose of Jesus coming to the earth, dying on a cross and raising again from the grave is so people don't go to hell. We're not going to tiptoe around that message because that's the crutch of the message. You think about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him, happy, 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 should not what? What does that mean? Perish. That means hell. You don't go to hell. The main reason Jesus came, his main purpose, Luke 19:10, was to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you die lost, you go to a place called hell. That's separation from God forever. And I believe this, that the worst part of hell is not the burning or the gnashing of teeth. It is the fact that we're separated from our Savior forever, for eternity. But Jesus Christ came to redeem us from that, to save us from that destruction that our sin has caused. Now, how many of you guys are thankful that Jesus took all of your sin when you got saved and placed it on him as if he's the one who did the sin? That is grace, my friend. That's not religion. Religion teaches you that you got to make up for your bad deeds by good deeds and maybe God will accept you. That is not the gospel. The gospel teaches that when you put your faith in Jesus, he takes all of your sin, past, present, and future. Yes, even the ones you do tomorrow. And he's placed them on himself and said, I'll pay for that. That's a good story, isn't it? Why wouldn't we want to tell other people about that? That's a great, great story. So it's so easy for a church to get heavily involved in secondary issues, isn't it? And I'll tell you, even this last year, I have. And I want you guys to know that I want our church to be on mission. And that mission is to win people to Christ and to disciple them. So when I was a kid, there's a lot of fake things out there. When I was a kid, my dad took me snipe hunting. Some of you, how many of you guys know what that is? How many of you don't know what that is? Raise your hand. You're like, I don't know what snipe hunting is. I'll take you. You know what? I'll take you. Yep, I was out there. My dad was throwing rocks in the bushes. I think I heard one. If you didn't know, snipe aren't real. But he made me feel like I was hunting with my little pillowcase, you know. And some people can be real evil with this whole story. But he was out there throwing rocks, laughing, just laughing about that. There are a lot of churches in the world that I would call that they're in the snipe business, chasing after things that will never exist in heaven. Churches that are chasing after things that really don't matter here on earth. You know what's going to matter when you get to heaven? How many people you led to Christ? How many people you at least shared the story with? What you did that would cause an eternal impact. What you did for God in the nursery. You know, when you serve in the nursery, can I tell you something? You're involved in gospel witnessing. There are people who come to this church. There may be some here even today. I know there are. That need to get saved. And because their children are back there, because we're not being distracted by a bunch of children, which I love, by the way, they're a huge blessing. They're able to hear the gospel message and get saved. When you serve back there with the children, you get to lead children to Jesus Christ. When you get to serve at the teen ministry, when you're greeting people in the parking lot, you're helping them have an experience where we lessen the distraction of people coming here and hearing the message of Jesus Christ. You're involved in a great work here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. Every business has a mission. Every single business. What's Chick-fil-A's mission? Eat more chicken. What's Nike's mission?
Let's do it.
What's McDonald's? Yeah. Yeah, clog your arteries.
Yeah.
Mess up your order. Yeah, that's what I think their mission is. How can I mess up your order the best, you know? But it's funny, when Chick-fil-A messes up your order, like, they knew what we needed more than we did, right? That's how it is. They can never get it wrong. But their mission is clear. We have to have a clear mission at our church, and our mission is to evangelize, to get the gospel to those who need to hear that message. So our mission is clear. We want to lead people to Jesus and disciple them. And this is our role as a pastor. This is our role as a journey group leader. This is our roles as ministry leaders here at the church. This is our role as parking lot attendants, as greeters, as ushers, as the executive leadership team. This is our goal. This is our main mission. We're all working together to accomplish this main mission of making and being disciples. So how can we do this real quick? How can we do this? Well, number one, by connecting to his power. It's right there in the text. We can do this by connecting to his power. He gives the great commission, not the great suggestion, but the great commission. He says, guys, don't forget, I have all power. I have all power on earth and in heaven. Now, how many of you guys are thankful you serve a God with all power? Not some power, but all power. Like nothing in the universe could exist without his power. Nothing. Like while he was dying on the cross for our sins, he was also holding the universe together. We have to connect to that power. So notice what it says. Jesus says in verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now the word power carries the same idea as the word authority. In other words, he's saying, I have authority here on the earth. I have the right to exercise power. I have authority to exercise power here on earth and in heaven as well. Matthew 7 is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And after the Sermon on the Mount, the great Sermon on the Mount, at the very end, he says, for he taught them as one having what? Authority, not as one of the scribes. You know why? Because he owns, he has authority. He is the authority. He has the power. I think of, remember the four guys that brought their friend to Jesus who was sick of the palsy, laying in bed, and they opened up the roof and dropped this man down to be in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed him? Remember what Matthew 7:29 says? Matthew 9:6. It says, but that they may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to what? Because he didn't just heal the man that was sick of the palsy, because he got up and walked and took up his bed and walked out. But he also what? Forgave his sins. Now, even the scribes and the Pharisees knew only God could forgive sins. Exactly, because he's God. He has all authority. He has all power. Then he says to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. He has authority. He has authority in heaven. In other words, angels gladly do his biddings. All heaven obeys his voice. He has all authority in heaven. He has all authority here on earth. Even the demonic powers are held in check by Jesus Christ because he has all authority. But he has authority on earth. So what does that mean? He has the authority to tell the church what to do. Did you know that's not my job? I'm here to be a voice, to be an ambassador of the one who purchased this church with his own blood. I didn't do that. He did. He has authority to tell us what to do. What I'm saying to you this morning is not from, it's not me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what he said at the very end of the book of Matthew before he sent it into heaven, what we're called to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what we're called to do. That's the Great Commission. And so he has authority to tell the church what to do. And if we are a church that disobeys that, may God close the doors of this place. The good news is the power to carry out this Great Commission has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's not just telling us to obey and to tell others about Christ. He's saying, look, you have authority to do this. Okay? We go, watch this, in the authority of Jesus Christ. We don't go because pastor gave us permission. We don't go because we are thankful for our salvation. We go because Jesus has commissioned us. He's given us authority to spread the good news to those who need it. Think about this. Have you ever seen these videos of people impersonating a police officer? Why is that a crime? Why do people go to jail for that? Because they've never been given authority. They have no authority to act like a cop. They have no badge. They can't pull people over. But somebody who is an authorized police officer can. They've been given authority, permission by a city council, by their mayor, by their city. They have authority now to implement the law. So even every message on earth has a messenger. And you got to ask yourself, at what authority is that message given? There's a lot of messages out there. There's an atheistic message. There's the Jehovah's Witness message. There's an Islamic message. There's the New Green Deal message. And there's a lot of political messages out there. But let me ask you this question. On whose authority are those messages based on? Where does it come from? And what's the motivation behind those messages? At least the authority that's given to us by Jesus Christ to preach the gospel is coming from somebody who's not selfish. Do you know what the gospel does? It does more for the person who receives the gospel than it does for Jesus Christ. You think about what somebody gets when they get saved. They get heaven. What? John 14, I'm building a mansion for those who are his children. A mansion? Nobody on earth building me a mansion? All my sins forgiven? When I get to heaven, no shame. I don't have to live in shame anymore. Man, it's going to be a good day, isn't it? Clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, an inheritance that no person on earth could ever give me. That authority, that power that I have to preach the gospel comes from Jesus Christ, and that person who's given me authority is the most selfless person that's ever existed on the earth. When he walked this earth, he didn't even have a place to lay his head. Did you know there's three motivations for every crime, right? Sex, power, and money. Every single crime on earth can be linked to those three: sex, power, and money. Every murder, every war, every single crime, every sin can link those three. And Jesus, man, he could have set himself up as the king, right? He was the king of kings. No, but he laid down his life. Sex, you don't see that. You don't see Jesus going after women. He had all the power in the world and didn't show it off, did he? In fact, Philippians 2 tells us the opposite. So who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You think about the person who commissioned us to preach the gospel was the most selfless person who's ever existed on the earth. You think about every message that is preached out there and what authority it comes from. It's usually very selfishly motivated. I'm just so glad I'm on Jesus' team. How about you? So he has power. He has power, not to show off, but to save people. It's all for them. When you tell somebody how to get saved, it's all for them. There's no selfish motivation. This isn't to get people in here so we can build a big, giant kingdom. It's all about Pastor. Look, this church is all about Jesus. That's what it's about. It's not about being a celebrity pastor. It's not about elevating ourselves or looking around and being like, look how good of a church we are. This is all about Jesus Christ, what he's done for us, and your alone time with him throughout your week. And so we connect to his power. Generation Z, which is Katie and Bella's generation, Pippa's the next generation, the Alpha generation. That makes sense, right? Pippazilla, the Alpha. She's going to be an Alpha female. Generation Z, all the kids in high school right now, kids in junior high, elementary school, you're Gen Z. They're described consistently as the hopeless generation. Now, I don't think they're hopeless, but they're called that because that's the group of people that are looking for hope and they're looking for meaning and they're trying to find it in money. And by the way, the generation before that, the millennials, have found the same thing. They're looking for meaning in money, in sex, in drugs, in careers, or even on social media. I mean, you talk to a lot of Gen Z kids, and their number one goal is like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a YouTube star. I'm being serious. I talk to them all the time. It's like, I want to be famous on YouTube. This kid makes $1 million on YouTube. I want to do that. I want to play video games and record my voice, and people watch, and then I make money. What? And by the way, if that's God's plan for you, great, go tear it up. But this, people are trying to find meaning in that. They have an unhealthy relationship with the things of this world because people are not connected to Christ. And when you're not attached to Christ, you give deity to these things. Your job becomes your God. Your social media account becomes your God. How much money you have saved up for retirement, how much money you're making per hour becomes your God. When you're not, every human is built this way to deify something. We all worship something. It could be a pop star, it could be a rock star, whatever it is. We all deify something or someone. And Jesus is saying, look, I'm the only one worth worshiping. They're the hopeless generation. And the gospel is a very powerful, hopeful message. And it's never going to go out of style, is it? I like what Romans 1:16 says. It says, Paul says, look, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the what? Power of God unto what? Salvation. The gospel of Christ, that he died, rose again from the grave for our sins, is the power of God unto salvation. To how many people? Everyone that believes. In case I missed anybody, Jews and Greeks. Because the Jews didn't think that Greeks could get saved. And he said, just so you know, Greeks can get saved too. Now, how many of you guys are thankful that the gospel is for everybody? So how do we share the gospel? How do we engage the world with the gospel? We connect to his power. You got to connect to his power. Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Are you saved? And you have a walk, when you have a personal walk with Jesus Christ, you can't help but want other people to have that as well. And we have to tell people about it. It has to be verbal. It can't just be lifestyle evangelism, although that gives your message some punch, right? It gives it some validity. Like, okay, your lifestyle is matching up with your message. This is good. I can listen to you. But if you're not living up to what God has called us to do, it's hard to hear a message from somebody like that. But we still have to tell them. We still have to tell them, listen, there's five things you must know, and there's one thing you must do. First of all, you have to believe the Bible's true. Second of all, you have to believe Jesus is God. Third, you got to believe that you're a sinner and that sin deserves punishment in a place called hell, but Jesus paid for that for you by dying on the cross, and the one thing you must do is ask him to save you. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you shared that message with somebody? I already know you know it because you're saved. It's so interesting to me when I hear a Christian, a believer say, I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, how did you get saved? One of the best things you could do is share your testimony on how you got saved. Nobody can argue with that. Jamie, you could tell somebody, Jesus rose again, died on the cross, rose again from the grave for your sins. I'm like, oh, that's the Bible. But they can't argue with your testimony. They can't say, well, that didn't happen to you. Like, what are you talking about? It did happen to me. I got saved. And you can implement the gospel in your salvation testimony. That's how you can share your faith with other people. Just share what God's done with you. Just share what God did to you. I can share with people how I got saved on September 1st, 2001. But first, how we share the gospel with others by connecting to his power. Number two, by following his plan. Every business requires a good business plan. If you don't have a good business plan, your business will fail in the first couple of years. If you don't have a mission, a target audience that you're strategizing to reach, you don't have a product that people would actually buy, your mission, your business plan is going to fail. Jesus had a strategy, a plan. What was it? He says it in verse number 19. He says, go ye. You just got to go. And you can't wait until you feel good about it. You can't wait till your life's totally together. The Bible just says, go ye. Go. And I would consider this as being a disciple. Being a disciple. Go ye is being. It's right there in your notes. Be. Now, it's on your wrist, too. It says be make, right? Be make. Okay. So going, if I go to Doug and say, Doug, do you know Jesus? Doug, do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? And let's just say no. Okay. Would you mind if I shared with you what Jesus has done for you? Okay. And I shared that message with you, regardless if you get saved or not, but I shared that message with you. That is being a disciple. That's helping somebody become a disciple. And going and telling somebody that message is the difference between being a disciple and saying you're one. Actually telling somebody verbally with your lips how to get saved is the difference between being a disciple and saying you're one. You could say with your lips that I'm a follower and a believer in Jesus, but I don't think we really are if we're not telling others about it. Okay? The idea it carries here, to go ye, is as you're going. The idea here is while you're living. In other words, Jesus assumes that those who follow Christ will be going. It assumes that when you're in the grocery store or when you are talking with your neighbors that at some point the gospel conversation will come up. As you're going, this doesn't mean Saturday morning, soul winning, you got to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning, we got to knock on doors. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as you're living your life, it's part of you. As you're living your life, you're finding opportunities to share the good news of Christ with that person. I like what Luke 19:10 says. I've said it before. For the Son of Man is come. He says, this is my mission. I'm on a journey. I'm walking through this earth for 33 and a half years. And as I was walking, this was my message. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. As he was living, he was reaching others for himself, for Christ. Jesus was on a journey. On his journey, he called the disciples. As he was on his journey to go back to Jerusalem, he told his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria, and he led a woman at the well to the Lord. When he was dying on the cross, this was just part of his journey, the script that his father had wrote, the thief on the cross gets saved. As he was living, he was witnessing. He was leading others to himself as he was living. Look, you don't even, in your life, you don't even have to go out of your way to reach unsaved people. You see them all the time. I see them at UPS all the time. Share the gospel with them. I was at work and I was at UPS and I really enjoy that job. I really like it because I'm around a lot of lost people. You know, as a pastor, you kind of get in a bubble, you know, you're just here around all a bunch of saved people, except for Tyler, you know, pray for him. Just kidding, Tyler. So I really like, because I'm around a bunch of lost people. And I was working with one guy, and he opened up, because they all know I'm a pastor, and he opened up about a family member of his dying. And I asked him, I said, what do you think happens? What do you think happens to somebody after they die? And, of course, he went on to explain what he thought happens, you know, a lot of reincarnation and all this, you know. I just sat there and listened. I just listened to him. I don't think anybody would ever listen to me if I'm not going to give the time to listen to them. I just listened to him. And then when he was done, you know what he said? What do you think? I said, well, let me tell you. You know what that was? That was a gospel opportunity. And I don't know if you guys know this, but you have them all the time. A lot of times don't see it. You just ask them a question. Hey, what do you think happens after you die? Ask them questions and listen to them. And they might ask you the same question. And then you get to answer. And maybe when you're answering, you just share how you got saved. Just get back to the gospel. This is what Jesus did. He died. And some of you are really good at what I would call closing the deal. You know, I know it's not a business pitch, but you're good at like going through the gospel and getting them to accept Christ and be a follower. That's great. Some of you are really good at inviting people to church. Do that. Get really good. You can hand them and say, I'll sit with you. I'll sit with you in church. And they'll hear the gospel right here. Okay? Some of you are good at praying. Pray for people to get saved. But everybody needs to be involved in evangelism. So that was what I call a gospel opportunity. And everybody in this room has a lot of gospel opportunities if we take advantage of them. Let me just tell you how you got saved. You say, Pastor, I'm going to fumble through my words. That's okay. They're at least getting the message. They don't care how you're saying it. They just care that you care. Look, I don't care how somebody says the gospel. When I heard the gospel for the first time, I came to a little church in Prescott Valley, Arizona called Faith Baptist Church. There's probably 20 people in the whole room. And an older pastor gets up and just preaches the gospel. There was no jokes. It wasn't funny. It was just a straight gospel. It was something I needed to hear, and it really impacted my life. And that's all people need to hear. Maybe all they need to hear is your testimony. Let me tell you how God changed me. I used to be this way. I used to think that I'd get to heaven by being a good person. Man, I grew up in West Michigan, and my parents took me to church from the womb, and I wasn't even saved till I was 21. Maybe somebody just needs to hear that. Sharing your testimony is one of the most powerful tools you have in sharing the gospel with people in your community. That's a gospel opportunity. So share your testimony. Invite them to church. And by the way, let me just say this before I move on to the next point, is be just as excited to plant the gospel in somebody's heart or water it, if somebody else has told them that, than you are to see them actually saved. I think we get so hung up. We hear the gospel, I didn't see anybody saved. That's why Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, listen, some plant, some water, but it's God that what? Gives the increase. If you see somebody saved, that wasn't you. That was God that did that. If somebody got saved under your preaching, that wasn't you that did that. That was God that did that. God saved it. God is in the saving business. You just put a lot of water on it. You're able to make that seed finally grow. Okay? God is the one that saves them. It's our job to spread the gospel, to plant the seed in their heart or to water it, and to get them thinking about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I tell you, there's a lot of people who aren't thinking about that. They're thinking about how to numb their pain. They're thinking about what job they're going to, right now there's a lot of people thinking about, and even those watching online, they're thinking about leaving their spouse. And there's a lot of people thinking about a lot of things out there. When they need to start thinking about their relationship with Jesus, and you are the witness God has called to talk to them about it. And it might be just having them over and having a dinner with them or whatever it is, but just love on them. Can I just tell you this? The gospel may be offensive to people just because of its message, but it should never be offensive because of the messenger. Okay? Should never be offensive because of our demeanor. I know there are people who share the gospel and it just seems like they don't even care about you. Don't be that person. Actually care about that person. Okay? And by the way, you know if you care about somebody if you want them to get saved. So be, and then number two, make. Be make. Making is this. It says, he says to preach the gospel to every creatures, to all the creatures, and it says teaching them to observe. Teach all nations. Isn't that what it says? Notice in verse 19, it says, go ye, okay, so that's being, I'm being a disciple, and teach all nations. That's making. That's helping somebody become a disciple, to get rooted and grounded in the faith. This literally means to make disciples of all nations. To be a disciple means to follow Jesus as your Lord and as your master, okay? So being a disciple and making disciples is in the imperative mood. So when it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, this isn't God suggesting to us we should maybe try it. He is commanding the believer to do this. If he's been given all power and he has the power to tell the church what to do, what he is telling the church to do, this isn't my words. Don't get offended at me. This is what God said. God says, you're disobedient if we don't tell others about Christ. Now, by the way, I don't want you to be motivated to tell others about Christ because now you feel guilty. I really want you to tell others about Christ because you've experienced his grace in your life. Like, I've been saved. I just want others to know. And he says, now go make other disciples. Tell them about me. Okay? That's what the church is all about, to make disciples. Be and make are in the imperatives. It's not a suggestion. I mean, imagine a guy in the military, Paul. Let's just call him Private Bumpkin. And he's asked to line up by a sergeant. Tells everybody, line up! And Private Bumpkin says, yeah, I appreciate the suggestion, Lieutenant. I'll give it consideration. I'm real tired, actually, Sarge. I think I'm going to go back to sleep. How do you think that's going to go for that private? It's not going to go very well, is it? When God says, look, when God says to us as believers, go ye into all the world and teach all nations, he's our commanding officer. This isn't like, well, you know, I'll think about it. I'm a little tired, you know, it's kind of scary. He said, I don't care if you're scared. I don't care if you want to think about it. This is what I've commanded you to do. I have this strong desire right now as for this church, not just to see people saved, but to get people rooted in the faith. When it talks about teaching all nations, it's talking about not just seeing people saved, but getting them grounded in the faith. I discipled one young man, and his grandfather passed away, and he texts me this week and says, my grandpa passed away, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, you know, all that time in discipleship is what really has anchored me. I was listening to Carson Wentz. You guys know who Carson Wentz? He plays today. He's a quarterback for the Eagles. And just recently, he was interviewed about his salvation testimony. He said all his life, he grew up going to church. And in his freshman year in college, he had a senior on the football team ask him about his Bible reading. He was, you know, just overwhelmed with college and everything else. He was just kind of taken back by the question. And for one semester, this senior discipled Carson Wentz, and it changed his life. He taught him what it meant to be saved. He taught him what it meant about God's grace and, you know, strayed him away from the legalism of religion and all this stuff. And that semester changed his life. There's just something about sitting down with somebody, sitting down with them, and just working through the doctrines of the Bible. Just discipling somebody, just bringing somebody along in their journey. This is our discipleship curriculum that we're going to do. It's called The Journey. We got the Journey Point classes. We got the Journey groups. We got Journey discipleship. I think we should just name our church The Journey. What do you guys think? It's good night. Might as well just have all the language together. Well, there already is The Journey. Maybe Journey Point. But this is what this is. This, I have a strong desire. Every person who gets saved, I encourage them to be discipled by somebody. On Sunday nights, every Sunday night, if you want to get discipled, there's childcare provided, and somebody will take you through the journey of discipleship. And after you get discipled, we encourage you to take somebody else through discipleship. To always have somebody that you are investing in as a believer. By the way, I'm so passionate about this. I'm so motivated by this that I encourage every parent of a teen to take their teenager through discipleship. All you have to do is meet once a week. And this book right here, the leader guide, tells you what to say. And then if you have questions about some of the doctrines of the faith, you have what's called a pastor who would love to answer your questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll go to gotanswers.com and I'll just kidding. But you have a pastor who would help you through some of this. You should be investing in your teens. This is not just the youth pastor or the youth leader or the children's pastor to teach your kids doctrines of the faith. That's your job. And you're like, Pastor, I can't afford the credit. Well, I'll buy this personally for you. I encourage you. I'm going to take all of my girls. When Katie turns 13, I'm going to take her through this. We'll just meet once a week and just go through the doctrines of the faith. You don't have to go through catechism. How about God's given children this thing called parents? And parents should maybe disciple their kids. And if you're a kid in here, you've been given a parent that you are to obey. Right? Obey. With a happy face, right? Like, listen, yeah. And if your kid can't handle you discipling them, we'll have somebody disciple him, okay? You're like, I can't learn from my parents. That's how I was when I was a teenager. I couldn't listen to anything my dad had to say. But I'm good. All right, so no, I'm just kidding. I love your kids. I want everybody not just to get saved, but to get rooted and grounded in the faith. And listen, that's it. That's it. We're not here to entertain people. Listen, that is our mission. And we should be passionate about that. Seeing people saved and getting them rooted and grounded in the faith. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. That's what we're called to do. And so I hear a lot of people, I hear a lot of pastors talk about church growth and how to make your church sticky. You know, these are all like, you know, sticky church. You know, this is how you can be. You just get people connected with friends and you find them friends. But I believe the missing piece is getting them discipled. I think a lot of churches, listen, get so caught up and like, all right, so they're new believers. Okay, we're going to get them here and they're going to build friendships. I think that's all good and it's very surface. But I think the thing that new believers need the most is to get discipled, to have a genuine personal walk with Jesus Christ. Because if not, they'll just go from church to church to church. And when they've lost their friends here, they'll go to, or if their friends move, and there's no loyalty to that church or to Christ. It's just not really now a social club. We got to get people rooted and grounded in the faith. Then he says this. He says, go ye and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. What's the next word? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, or the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So listen, after somebody gets saved, what's the first step of obedience after somebody gets saved? Baptize. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward decision. We have a baptism Sunday coming up. I have multiple people wanting to be baptized. And if you've never been baptized, you've never identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in front of a group of people, I encourage you to do that. And of course, I taught on that in my starting point class. My starting point class this morning, I have 15 or so adults in there. Just a great, exciting class. And I already want to come up to me and talk about getting baptized. And then the fourth part of this business plan, okay, is to involve, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, that's to get them involved, not just to observe what a believer does themselves, but to get involved themselves. So Christianity is not a life of information. It's a life of application. Okay, it's belief being translated into behavior. That's what it's about. And so with the discipleship, it's like, okay, I'm learning, but I'm also learning how to apply. I'm learning how I should live. I know that when I walk out of this room, there are some decisions I need to make and some lifestyle changes I need to implement. And that's really important. I know a lot of you maybe have made some New Year's resolutions, and that's great. But I think the best New Year's resolution you could ever make is to have a close walk with your Savior, Jesus Christ. So get involved. Get involved. And then number three, how do we engage the world with the gospel? By believing his promise. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, the end of the age. Isn't that amazing? You got to believe his promise. He said, I'm with you. I love this story of Christmas. I know Christmas has just ended. My lights are still up at the house. So it's still going on at the cool house. But what is his name? His name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I think the great thing about being a parent is the comfort that is brought to our children by just being there. I think what your children need most, this is what every child needs most, more than anything else, is to know mom and dad are there. It's that security, you know? I'll never forget, like, my wife and I, our bedroom's downstairs, our kids' bedrooms are upstairs, and one of them started crying. And you run up the stairs, and you go in their room, right? And you tell them, get over it, right? You just get over it, get back to bed. I've done that a few times, and they've done it like, just kidding. And I'll go in their room, especially if it's like Pippa, you know, a little girl, or even the older ones. And you know what I'll say to them to comfort them? Hey, Dad's right here. Dad's right here. Dad's right here. Right? I'm right here, sweetie. I hold him close. I'm right here. I don't even know what else to say. I'm right here. Love you. I don't know why they're crying. A lot of times Pippa can't even tell us. She's saying something. I just can't interpret it. But I know what I'm telling her. I'm telling her I'm right here. You know what God is saying to you this morning? He said, I know you're going through a lot of pain and heartache and stress and loneliness. Whatever it is, he's just saying to his children, I'm right here. I'm right here. And he'll show you little signs along the way. You're sitting here today hearing about it. That means God's talking to you. He's saying to you right now, I'm right here. I got you. I got this. You're not alone. The gospel message is not about making you healthy. Okay? The gospel message is not about making you rich. The gospel message never says that your life is going to be perfect after you get saved. What the gospel message is that you are not alone. It's God saying, in the midst of all your pain and suffering, I'm right here. I'm right here. I got you. That's what your Father says. He says, lo, I am what? With you. I'm with you through it all. When times are good, when times are bad, I'm with you. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, God's like, I'm with you in that conversation. There's a lot of things we talk about, a lot of things we do. We wish God wasn't there. How about participating in some things? We'd be proud that God would be there. But let me tell you something. When you're sharing the gospel with somebody, God said, I'm right there with you while you're sharing it. You're not alone. You're not alone. I'm going to be with you through every step of the way. I like what 2 Corinthians 11:3 says. It's not on the screen, but it's just really comforting. It says, Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I think we as humans complicate our relationship with Christ, and the Bible teaches it's very simple. Just know him and walk with him. Don't complicate the Christian life. Whatever has worried you, whatever has sidetracked you, whatever has discouraged you, maybe you're sucked into the things of this world today, you're just so wrapped up in becoming something great. Can I encourage you with this? This morning, just return to Christ. and help others get to him. Return your heart to Christ. Get as close to him as you possibly can and help others get to him. We want to engage the world with the gospel. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know for sure Jesus is your personal Savior, there'll be a couple banners right here up here in the front. I'll be up in the front right when the entire service is over and the announcements are done and people are walking out. I'll be up here. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know for sure you're saved and you want to be saved, you come shake my hand and I'd gladly show you from the Bible how to be saved. And maybe you're a Christian here today and you haven't shared the good news with somebody in a long time. I'd encourage you during the music, during the invitation, you decide that this will be the year I start sharing my faith with others. I got an opportunity this week to invite somebody this week to hear the new sermon series, Not Today, Satan. We sent out letters to you in the mail. We got flyers at the track rack back there. We have new gospel tracks coming. They're beautiful, okay? Full color, awesome. For you to share your faith with those who need the good news of Christ. And maybe that's a decision you need to make today.